If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So something you may not know about me is that I'm a huge fan of country music. It's my music of choice. It's what I listen to in the car. Take me line dancing. I just love it and I will fall in love with you. Well, that's why I was so excited to get to talk to today's guest, Nico Moon. He's a singer, a songwriter, and a burst of positive energy. I can't wait for you guys to see his smile. Nico has written songs with people like Morgan Wallen, Dierks Bentley, Rascal Flatts, and Zac Brown Band, just to name a few. And now he's heading out on tour to support his new album, Better Days, which comes out January 2024. I've always been fascinated by songwriting, and Nico gives us an insider's perspective on the whole creative process. How do you write a song? The difference between a good song and a great song, and what it's like to collaborate with someone you look up to. He tells us a great story about how the Zac Brown song, Keep Me In Mind, came to be. You guys are going to love this story. We talk about what inspires his music and who his dream collab partner would be. We also delve into personal struggles with addiction and how he's so excited to help others by giving back with his new foundation, Happy Cowboy. Nico just spread positive vibes and it's really infectious. You won't be able to stop smiling. So enjoy my conversation with Nico Moon. Nico Moon, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I'm so happy to meet you finally.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to meet you too. Looking forward to it.
I love the hats. Every time I see you, it's a new hat. Amazing.
I'm a little bit of a collector, you might say.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you always wear a hat?
You know, every once in a while, I'll get a wild hair and not wear one, but I've been in love with hats since I was a teenager. And so I love going around collecting hats that I like from hat makers that I love. So it's a little bit of a hobby for me. And who knows? Somebody may be coming out with their own hat company next year. We'll see. I'm just saying.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, I'm glad I asked. I will keep my eye out for that. So, Nico, I talked about you in the intro, and I discussed how much of a superstar you are. But before we get into all of that, I want to hear about your childhood and how you got into music. Can you tell me a little bit about your upbringing?
Yeah. So, I grew up in Texas to two very musical parents. I'm really lucky that I got the parents I got, because I think music as a potential career, not really on the table, I think, for most kids, you know, as an option. And my parents always nurtured that curiosity and excitement that I had for music, and always made sure that it was known that it was a possibility if I wanted to follow it.
Yeah.
So my dad toured around playing as a drummer. They both play guitar and write songs. So I grew up in a really musical household. We didn't have a lot. We were pretty working class, but we were rich on love, and we had some instruments in the house. So we love making music. So very grateful to that kind of upbringing. I think it's why I make the music that I make, to be honest with you. As far as the style of music being country music, because I just grew up working class. I got a heart for working class people, and that's what I like to sing about.
Yeah. So I'm curious, was like American Idol around when you were younger? Was that something that you thought about doing, or that is like kind of not seen as a cool thing when you're like a real musician? Like, what do you think about that?
It wasn't my personal,
journey.
I think, path. Yeah. I don't think it was my personal path, but for me, any way that someone that's really amazing and creative, can get connected to the world, that's a great thing, so it doesn't really matter how it comes about. So I know people got their opinions on that kind of stuff, but for me, it's like, if you feel like that's something you want to do, go for it. And if you don't, the beauty of it is, especially nowadays, is there's a million different ways to get connected to people, just like we're doing now, so it's all about finding the way that works for you, where you feel most comfortable. And, but growing up, not really, that was more like, I would say high school or really like college.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my goal was to, kind of emulate the artists that I grew up loving. So I wanted to cut my teeth in honky tonks and bars and, kind of do it like the old school way. So that's the way I went.
So some people, you're right, get, seen on a big show like American Idol. Some people will go on YouTube, and I know a lot of people have been discovered that way, but you went through the sort of raw, organic, old school way. So what was your first gig like?
Oh my God. Some of my first gigs were the most brutal gigs imaginable.
Oh, no.
I remember playing a Mexican restaurant one time, and it was raining that day. So nobody was out on the patio, which is where I was supposed to play. So the owner asked me, "Hey, man, you want to play in the entryway of the Mexican restaurant?" And I was like, "Come on, man, don't do this to me." And but it was $150. I had to pay the bills, So I sat up in the entryway next to the newspapers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember people walking in the door and just being like, why is somebody right in front of me singing Sweet Home Alabama in a Mexican restaurant?
Right.
And it was weird for them, weird for me, and I remember just being kind of feeling pretty defeated because I was probably 4 or 5 years in to playing consistently.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was at the point where, I was kind of playing bars and honky tonks, but I was also playing gigs like that too. And mm-hmm. I wasn't kind of getting to that next place and was feeling like maybe I love music, but it didn't love me back.
Right.
And this kid comes up to me. This kid comes up to me and is like watching me. And I got a little glimmer of hope. So I was like, "Hey, what do you want me to play? I'll play you whatever you want." And he was like, "Oh, I'm good, man. I just want some gum." And I was like, "What?" And I realized I was playing in front of a gumball machine.
Oh my goodness.
And
that was a great story. Oh my gosh.
It was pretty brutal. I remember riding home that night thinking to myself, all right, I got a decision to make here. Am I going to keep going with this thing, or am I going to pack it in because I just got beat out by gum?
Yeah.
And I decided to give myself another 6 months. I was like, 6 months and let's see what happens. 3 months later, I met Zach Brown from the Zach Brown Band. I was playing at a honky tonk down in Georgia, and he was in there and saw me playing, and my whole life completely changed from that point on, and life just completely changed. So I say that to just encourage anybody out there that's listening, that even if you've been at it for a long time and you're feeling like that dream isn't coming to fruition, don't give up. If it's really your dream, don't give up on it. Keep going.
Yeah, that's such a great message. Okay, wait, so let's talk more about that. So was Zac Brown Band like known like it is now? Was he somebody that you recognize and you, you know, idolized at the time?
So at the time, Zach was a local thing. He was just in Georgia, where he's from, where I'm from. So he was really popular in the area, but Chicken Fried hadn't come out on the radio yet. He hadn't blown up as an artist. That would happen 2 years later. So we just developed a friendship that night, started writing songs together. And then when he did blow up, I started going on the road with him and writing songs with him on the road. And that really started my career as a songwriter / producer.
Right. So the way you got discovered was more for a songwriter and producer before being an artist yourself, correct, Ben?
Yeah. I was on the road with the Zac Brown Band for 12 years.
Wow.
Writing songs with them. We've written over 40-something songs that they released together and had 5 or 6 number ones with them. And it was such an amazing journey. And we still write songs together. But that was really, I would say, like my education. That was where I learned the difference between a good song and a great song. And really the whole music world, Zach is my mentor. And he really taught me kind of how it all works, you know. And at a certain point through that journey, you know, about 8 or 9 years into it, I decided to move to Nashville and spread my wings and see if I could start writing some songs for other artists. And that's what led me here to Nashville from Georgia.
Got it. So let's talk about that, actually. What does make a good song? How, like, what are the details that go into figuring out songwriting?
You know, it's interesting. It's kind of like building a house, is how I like to think about it. And every songwriter has their own way of going about it, their own method. And there's really not a right or wrong way. All that matters is that at the end of the day, you got a great song. Everybody has their own method. I have mine. This is mine. The way I like to start is I like to start with the idea of the song first. Mm-hmm. So like for my song, Good Time, I had this idea, like a bobber on a wet line, I'm just trying to catch a good time.
Mm.
It was just this thought that I had to myself of like trying to relate, you know, getting into that feel good mentality with country lifestyle, you know, I had the thought, and when I had that thought that I'm like, oh man, a whole song could be built around that idea, I kind of stop with the lyrics, and then I grab a guitar, and I start just strumming different chords and humming along until I find a chord progression that feels like that idea, because they got to match, you know, or else the song will feel schizophrenic, you know,
or like disjointed.
So once the music feels good, then I start humming along and find the melody. And then once I find the melody of the song, then I write the lyrics. So music, melody, lyrics is the order I go in. But I know some people, they'll write a whole song lyrically out first, and then they put the music to it. So there's a million ways to cut it.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you're like me, you tend to set really big goals for the coming year, but sometimes the simplest changes are the most impactful. For me, that's OneSkin's two-step approach to healthier skin. It's one of the easiest and best things I've done. Most skincare available on the market, and I've tried them all, is designated and designed to provide a temporary reduction in visible signs of aging, addressing just the surface symptoms. But OneSkin isn't just another skincare routine. It's a real science breakthrough. OneSkin's products are powered by a scientifically proven peptide called OS1 that targets lines and wrinkles right where they start, your cells, instead of just masking the signs of aging. OS1 is the first of its kind to actually turn back the clock. With their full line of face, eye, body, sun, and travel size products, OneSkin doesn't only promise healthier skin, they prove it. I've been all in since the first time I tried it. And now for a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products by using the code UNDERSTOOD when you check out at oneskin.co. Starting 2024 off right, give your skin the scientifically proven love it deserves with OneSkin. I traveled to Paris this holiday and I brought the travel pack with me from OneSkin. It was an absolute game changer. Their face cleanser is better than what I found at the Ritz Spa. I'm not kidding you guys. The eye and face creams are my favorite. It was the first time I tried the body lotion and I loved it. I came back and I ordered the full size because now I won't use anything else. It's not sticky and it leaves your winter alligator skin in the dust. People have literally been asking me what I use on my face and I cannot recommend OneSkin enough to anyone who ever asks. OneSkin is the world's first longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code UNDERSTOOD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code UNDERSTOOD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin. So, and when you're doing lyrics, you know, a lot of country songs are about losing a loved one or being left or broken up with or whatever. Do you feel like it's really important to have to go through things like that to write about it? Or, you know, there's someone like Taylor Swift who can write different songs for different people. And she was like 14 or something when she started and she was writing songs about breakups and men leaving you and blah, 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 which I don't think she had really gone through yet. So what do you think about that?
It's interesting. I kind of think of it similar to the way I think of songwriting, that there's a lot of different ways to look at that. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing this quote one time that I really like about this very question. And it was, a good songwriter can make you believe something that they've gone through, but a great songwriter can make you believe something that they've never gone through. And I think that that's a really interesting way to look at it. And I think that's how maybe some of the artists out there that write about things that maybe they haven't personally gone through, they're channeling this kind of like imaginary, they're putting themselves in that place. And for me as a songwriter, for other artists, I really relate to that. Cause like, for instance, when I write with Zach Brown or a song for Morgan Wallen or whoever, you know, it's like, I put myself in their place. Like I try to pretend like I'm them. I take my hat off and I put on their hat and I'm like, all right, now I'm them. Now, what do I want to write about? What do I want to say? All of that, you know, because it won't feel right if it's coming from me. It needs to come from them. I think sometimes a songwriter can look at that with storytelling that way. But for me personally, I like to write about personal life experiences. And I think the thing for me that's most important about what I like to do with music is I like to write music that is positive. That makes you feel optimistic about life. Even if I'm writing about something really tough, something difficult, you know, I've written songs about really hard heartbreaks that I've gone through and difficult things in life, you know, different difficult things. But I always want to make sure that there's some redemption in there somewhere. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, of hope. Yeah, exactly. Because we need that in this life, right? I mean, life is a crazy roller coaster ride. And I feel this drive to make my life's purpose about encouraging people along that ride through music.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've talked in the past, I know, about something you went through, a breakup in your past that helped you write some songs, correct?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think of these experiences that kind of cement themselves in your mind. You know, they're these like little souvenirs that you take with you, whether good ones or bad ones, to gain wisdom in life, right? And then the ones that really stick out to me are the ones I choose to write about, because for me, they're the ones that seem meaningful. You know, they obviously struck a chord with me that I would remember it.
Yeah.
So that's usually the ideas I try to linger on. With my first album, I really, for the most part, just kind of set this tone of good vibes, you know, because I didn't want to get too philosophical with it. I just wanted to make an album that people could literally, quite simply, have a good time to, whether they were at the lake or grilling out with the friends, whatever you're doing, you know, just some vibe music in the background that just get the vibes right, you know. But with my second album that I'm releasing in January, I'm going a lot deeper into the why I make positive music. And for me, it's almost like a different form of mental health, you know, like going to the therapist or going to the gym or eating good, all these things that can help your mental health. positive music. I'm a big believer that it can shift reality for us a little bit and help us to view life with a little bit more of an optimistic outlook. You know, I mean, it's amazing the power of music and how it you know, really seeps into our subconscious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get back to what you were talking about with, let's say, Zach Brown or Morgan Wallen. Can we pick a couple songs that you've actually written with them and talk a little bit about them? I think with Zach, maybe his most famous that people would know is Keep Me in Mind, or what would you say is the more famous?
Let's see. You know, Keep Me in Mind is an interesting one. That was the first number one I ever wrote with Zach, and we wrote it about this girl that Wyatt, who we wrote the song with. The song was written by three people: me, Zach Brown, and our buddy Wyatt Durrett. We were in Dallas one night, Dallas, Texas, and at a bar, and Wyatt ran into this girl at the bar. They got to talking, and he ended up finding out she had a boyfriend. And so before, you know, they left, you know, their little interaction, he said, "Hey, if things change, keep me in mind."
Oh my God.
That was such a, for us, like we just thought that was such a funny thing as we were talking about it later on that night, you know, and that's really where the inspiration for where that song came from.
Oh my God.
They ended up running into each other like a couple years later in Dallas.
Please tell me they got together.
They're married now.
Stop
they're
it.
Married now, and they have a beautiful baby girl. And so that song was literally written about this girl that Wyatt ran into and just like had this like kind of moment with the song. We write the song about it, goes number one, runs into her again randomly, and then now they're married. So
obviously she knows that it was written about her. I hope that they played it at the wedding.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. I played the wedding. I was so excited for them that I've never played a wedding before. That's the only one I played, but I played that one.
Oh my God. Nico, I love that story. That's amazing. Okay. So, but like, tell me the process. You guys went back that night and did you like bang it out all in one night, or did someone come up with the lyrics? How long did it take? Tell me everything.
Yeah. So songs can take, you know, all kinds of different timelines. Sometimes they can happen really quick, like it just in an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can take literally years. This was one that took about a month. It wasn't like a crazy long period. It was like a few weeks, you know, of refining it. Because you kind of get with like the first stage of it. And it's like you rough blocked it out.
Yeah.
And then Zach is a very, he's very perfectionistic, you know, and I am too. We like to, you know, polish it as much as possible till every little word, every little thing is absolutely perfect. And then the way he likes to work is once he kind of gets the song written down on the guitar, then he gets with the band and then they start working out like all the instrumental parts, like the intro riff, like the riff of the song that you know and stuff. He'll like go into that mode. And for me, that's kind of where my hands go off, because now we've written the song and I get to have fun and watch him kind of orchestrate the production of it with his band and create the music behind what we've written. And it's a really beautiful thing to be a part of.
Was there a moment when you heard them play it and it was like tangible in front of you and you were like, oh my God, how cool.
Oh yeah. Every time. I remember when Homegrown was being recorded in the studio and I had written that song about my hometown and just, you know, how much, I still think about, and I got so much, I guess, good feelings for where I grew up, you know, and I kind of had this thought, man, everybody does. It doesn't really matter where you're from, because it could be the kind of town that is pretty bland and that another person would drive past and just like not think anything. I'd be like, there's nothing really much to see. But for the person that's from there, they see it in a completely different light because they see the people there. They are seeing all the memories that were made at the different locations around that place. So they kind of got that different perspective on that place. And I wanted to write a song that was about my hometown, but where a person could take ownership of it and would make them think of their hometown. Yeah. And you know, but it was all done on the acoustic guitar. And then going in the studio and then watching them in the studio with the producer, who was Jay Joyce on that one. And he's done stuff with Pharrell and, I mean, just like every, you know, big country artist you can imagine. And so just watching him work out the music with them and them create it is a lot of fun. And I get to have a lot of fun doing that with my own music now, you know, and being a producer and songwriter for my own music. So I'm really grateful to that time.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you,
the education of it all.
Right. I wanted to ask you about how, you know you have a hit, is it hard to like release that to someone else? Are you like, wait, I want that song for me?
No, you know, like when I'm writing a song for somebody else, it's kind of like we were talking about how like really getting into the place of that person. I kind of decide before I start writing if I'm writing for me or if I'm writing for somebody else. It's like, all right, I'm writing for Dierks Bentley today, you know, and then that's what I'm focused on. Or I'm writing for me today, you know, because the intention is so important, you know, and I think every artist is so unique. You know, when I listen to, I don't know, when I'm thinking of like how like Rascal Flatts, how Gary sings, and then how someone, you know, like Kenny Chesney sings or somebody, you know, or even in the pop world for people I've written for, like Avicii or Pitbull or somebody, it's like all these people, they just sound so different. And they're, and the way they sing, what their voice can does and what they usually like to do, I like to listen to like their whole like discography and like really get my mind wrapped around and like how they like to sing and the things that make them signature, because those are the beautiful things. So as a songwriter, I think the goal is to like find out what it is about them that's special and then shine as much light on that thing as possible.
Yeah, that's so cool. You know, it's so interesting to listen to country singers who do a lot of their own writing or listen to the words of the song, right? Like I personally love Luke Combs. I think, you know, a lot of the words that he comes out with and the songs and the, you know, just the arc of the messages he has in every song, he has so many good ones. And it's, you know, I love listening to him because it touches something in me, even if I didn't realize it did, you know, and the beat is so good and it could be slow, it could be fast, but he always gets it. You know what I mean? So he's somebody I really love. Is there someone that you have never written for that, that you want to, or someone you're listening to that you really love?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny you mentioned Luke because, you know, I'm such a fan of what Luke does and his unique style of country that he does, that's him, you know, that I really just respect the authenticity with which he does it. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time to find management, I ended up getting with the same manager that Luke has. So, but when it comes to artists that I would really love to write with, I think at the very top of my list would be Chris Stapleton.
Oh, I love
him. He's my favorite. He's probably my favorite. I mean, I'm a full-on fan, you know. His voice is incredible. His songwriting is incredible. Just, you know, like how Luke's is. It's just, it's always at that high, high, high bar.
Yeah.
And the songs just always really hit home. And for me, there's always that feeling of authenticity and genuineness with him, with Luke, you know, with artists like that. And it's something I strive for with my own music. And as a fan, that's really, I think, even beyond how good the singer is, like how what kind of runs they can do, or like even the sound of the music, what I'm more interested in, even more than that, is how honest is it? And how moved do I feel by it? You know, because sometimes a Bob Dylan song, you know, can really move you, or Neil Young or somebody like that. And these are people that may not have like the greatest technical voices, but the songs are so amazing, right?
Yeah. It's so funny you say his name, because a song that's on the radio consistently right now of his, I don't even know the name. I think it's White Horse, maybe. Am I getting that right? And I just love that. And it's so funny. My 11-year-old daughter now knows all the words to the chorus, because it hits something with everyone, right? She's never been through that where she's waiting for a knight in shining armor to come through with a white horse, but like she loves it. And I love the concept of that song. You know, I'm still waiting for my white horse and my knight to come for me. So I love it. It like kind of brings me to tears, and his voice is just so good. So good. And Fire Away.
I always like textury voices, you know, like voices that got a little sandpaper on them.
Yeah.
And Chris and Luke kind of have that little bit of that something in it. I've always been attracted to female singers, like drawn to female singers that got a little rasp in their voice, like a Amy Winehouse or somebody like that, then it's a little something there, you know?
Right, right. Okay, so let's get back to talking about you a little more, because I know that you're the star here. So let's talk about your past a little, that, because, you know, everyone's had ups and downs, but something that's probably made you more, you know, raw and transparent in your music. You have had some issues in the past that have made you kind of stop and take a look at yourself. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I think the main thing for me that was really probably the most difficult thing that I had to get over was I had a problem for a little while with drinking. And it's, you know, the drinking problem stemmed from a completely different problem that I had, which was an emotional problem that I had. I was in a relationship for 7 years, and it ended up going south due to I got cheated on. And I was in my early 20s, and I didn't really know how to handle that.
Yeah.
And so I just instead decided to kind of, you know, push it to the side. I had big dreams with music, and I was so, you know, focused on that. I found myself, you know, at that time playing those honky tonks and playing those bars. So I was kind of like right there in this sweet spot of chasing my dream, but also at the same time, you know, this thing that started to become a hindrance to me was right there, because I was also processing a lot of heartbreak at the same time. And
right.
So, for me, I kind of got to a place where I didn't really know kind of how to untangle that knot alone. And so, that's when I decided to, reach out and, talk to somebody about it. And it ended up being the best decision. One of the best decisions I've ever made. I kind of think of it as like a, you know, like a women's jewelry, like a necklace is so thin and sometimes are so, you know, petite, and they can get tangled up. And when those little necklaces get tangled up, to get them undone is like, it's a thing. Like, you got to sit down and want it, you know, it's going to take a while, but eventually you can get to it. And for me, it's like, sometimes things in life can happen for all of us on that ride. Mm-hmm. None of us are immune to it, right? It's part of the human experience, just like happiness is. Mm-hmm. Sadness, anxiety, stress, these things that can sometimes get to that point, though, where they start to become overwhelming, happen.
Yeah.
And then it can be good to talk to somebody. And for me, what I kind of never really realized was that I thought it was just like venting or like talking and someone being a listening ear. But really, I was given literal tools, little exercises and mental games that I could play with myself to strengthen my mind's resilience. I ended up becoming aware that my physical had like a really big impact on my mental, you know? And mm-hmm. So realizing that, you know, if I'm eating like crap, if I'm not exercising, you know, if I'm drinking all the time, if I'm doing all this stuff, it's going to be pretty hard to get the feeling positive up here, feeling better, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm so grateful for that experience that I really want to be able to kind of pay it forward and pass it on with my life, with my love of music. Cause once that kind of experience happened for me, before that, I was singing songs not that there's anything wrong with this. I was just singing songs about, you know, basically just, you know, hooking up or like getting hammered or whatever. I don't know. Just like, you know, just general party songs. And, it kind of inspired me to want to make songs about something more than that. And, I'm having so much fun doing it, and I hope that the music can encourage people and provide them with a hope for the future, because there is, you know, there's always better days ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think that's such an important message for people, because, you know, what you went through is such a universal thing, obviously, whether it's cheating, whether it's losing somebody, whether it's you've gone down one path and it changes and you don't know how you got there. And so many people get stuck. And what you said is brilliant, that, you know, to be able to get happiness and get to that place, you have to be able to experience pain and sadness and know the difference and get yourself out of there. And so many people, I think, get stuck or feel like this is the end. I'm never going to find someone else. Or why did this happen? Because this is how my life was supposed to turn out. And here you are, you know, years later in a completely different position, and you're better off, right? I mean, you're married to a woman you obviously love very much. You have a child, you know, you have a new album coming out next year. But had you not gone through that, you may have made different decisions. And so you needed to go through, you know, a lower point to get to that higher point. And I think that's a really important message for people to hear and understand, and gives them hope that they will see better days, like you're saying.
Absolutely. And yeah, my wife was a huge encouragement too, because when we met, I was still kind of on the tail end of processing all of that, you know, and kind of overcoming my addictive natures. So she was a huge encouragement. So really kind of like accepting the help, you know, and the encouragement, and was huge. For me, it's just something that means so much to me, and that's why when we were talking earlier about, even in those moments, like having some sort of sense of redemption in there, you know, because with the first album, it was nothing but, you know, just it's always good times, which nobody loves getting out on the lake. Nobody loves getting around the campfire more than me, you know, because I do believe that life is meant to be celebrated, but yeah, talking a little more with the second album and saying, hey, you know, the reason why I'm doing this is because of, you know, the instances in life where I did feel hopeless, and it was really difficult to find the path to positivity. And it's something that I do daily, you know, still to this day. You know, I mean, I wake up every day and have to proactively set my compass towards, you know, the forward direction, or else, I mean, before I know it, you know, I'm caught up in my old ways. So it's a daily proactive habit, you know.
And it's a daily choice.
Just doing what I can to. Yeah, it's a daily choice, you know. And so for me, positive music can really help encourage that proactivity, which is what it takes, you know, to really keep that consistent positive life going forward. You need help. And so just kind of like good eating or exercising, it's like having positive music coming into your mind is gonna have an effect. You know, I kind of almost like a little challenge. It's like maybe only like think only positive thoughts for one day and see how it affects your life the next day when you wake up, how you'll generally feel. It's like immediately when you have like a go to start having a negative thought, kind of stop it and play that little game for an entire day, you know. It can really make a big difference. And for me, positive music is like a similar thing, because we just don't really, I think, realize how much it affects us if we're listening to like music that's pretty much making us feel hopeless, making us feel sad, even though it makes us feel connected, because the song this person is talking about a deep sadness and you feel a deep sadness, so you're connecting to that. But if there's no hope in it, then it kind of will keep you there with them in that moment, right? And I think when you're in sadness, what you're looking for is a way out. And so that's where music can really help.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what we can expect with your new album coming out soon. Is there like a certain tone to it? I know it's about better days and better vibes and all that stuff, but you really got more into the heart of the matter. Is there a favorite song you have?
Yeah, my favorite song is called Better Days. And so that's the name of the album. The album's called Better Days. And then the lead single, Better Days, which I got some really exciting news about how that song is going to be connected to my nonprofit. So at the exact same time that Better Days comes out, I'm also launching my nonprofit, which is called the Happy Cowboy Foundation, which is
tell us about
a nonprofit.
That.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit that helps people get therapy that are in need and looking for help. So obviously there's, you know, so many of us out there that need to talk to somebody, but it's so expensive, and not just one talk, you know, you need to talk a few times to get over anything that's difficult in life, you know, but it's not always financially viable. You know, there's a million situations, but if you were to use the example of like, you're just like a single mom, you got two kids and you know, you're working at, you know, a minimum wage job. How in the world, you know, you're under a lot of stress. There may be like a lot of things that you could really use help navigating mentally. And how are you going to swing talking to somebody? It's just, that's an impossibility, really, financially, you know, because those kids got to get fed and those, you get to school and all the stuff that, that she has to do, you know. So helping those people, you know, like I said, I got such a heart for working class people because I grew up in that environment, you know, and so just wanting to just help everybody as much as I can through the song Better Days. And so what Better Days is all about is that song is really the foundation of the album because it is my philosophy on positivity. And this is what my philosophy on positivity is. Positivity is not, does not mean that you're happy all the time. It does not mean being happy all the time. What positivity is even in the hard times, it's having faith that there's better days ahead. And I really want to kind of spread that message that, you know, if you're feeling in a way, and people are like, man, just be positive, you know, and you're like, how am I supposed to flip it? It's like, that's not, and just be happy. It's like, that's not it, you know? It's like, it's accepting the, where you're at. It's like saying, okay, we're here. This is the bottom of the of this moment of the roller coaster of my ride. And so while I'm here, while I'm in this valley, I'm going to choose to keep the faith that there's better days ahead. And so that's what the song is all about. That's what the album is all about. And there's going to be basically a way that I'm going to be connecting this album that I'll be talking about a little bit more in the future, that I'm going to be connecting this album with my nonprofit to help people get therapy from people listening to the album.
Amazing. I love that, Nico. So will you be going on tour and performing?
Yeah. So I'll be on tour. The tour starts February 1st. Tickets just went on sale. And some of the shows are already almost sold out. So it's been amazing. It's been beautiful. I'm so excited. We call the fan base the good timers. It's just people that love having a good time, you know, and you know, I'm so grateful for this musical family that, that we have formed in that building. So anybody's watching, oh Lord, anybody that's watching, come on out, y'all. It's, the way I like to look at it is kind of like a vacation. You ain't got to go to Cabo to go on vacation. You know, you can just, come to the show, hit the pause button for an hour and a half and just celebrate life together. It'll be all across the country and, the Better Days tour. Can't wait to see y'all there.
Nico, you're the best. You have such a big heart. I love talking to you. Okay. Your album drops in January of 2024, right?
Yep. January 19th is when Better Days, the album comes out. And then February 1st is the first day of the tour. $1 from every single ticket sold goes to the Happy Cowboy Foundation. So just by coming to the show, you're donating.
You're supporting. Great. Where can people find you and look up your stuff and see your tour dates?
Yeah, just go to nikomoon.com, N-I-K-O-M-O-O-N. And you'll get all the tour dates there. And then for listening to the music, everywhere, wherever you listen to the music, I'm there, yo.
Awesome. So I'm going to check out your schedule. Hopefully we will meet in person at one of your concerts. I think you're fantastic. Yeah. I love your message, and I hope you will come back after your album comes out and you've gone on tour, and we can talk about your nonprofit more and how that has affected people, because I think that's such a great thing that you're doing. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you. That would be amazing. Hey, Rachel, I had a blast talking. Thanks for having me. And I can't wait to cross paths in person and say hey.
Absolutely. You can count on it.
All right, take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled M-I-S-S, understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.